Today on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
It's not enough for the love of God or relationship with Christ simply to run in your family. It has to go beyond that. If it doesn't go beyond that, the first agnostic professor they encounter in college, when they begin to ask the hard questions, they're not ready to defend themselves. So it not only has to run in the family, but also it has to have a factual basis. And the wonderful, amazing truth about Christianity is it is rooted in history.
The truth is you have more influence than you realize. Welcome to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Today, Dr. Young shares the rest of his message, Thou Shalt Model Godliness, and shows you how to maximize your influence to bring the next generation to Christ. Keep listening. The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young begins in a moment. Before we get to today's message, we want to help prepare you for life's greatest challenge and most important calling by sending you Dr. Ed Young's book, The Ten Commandments of Parenting. In words that are clear, simple, and sometimes humorous, Dr. Young draws from decades of counseling and raising his own children to show you how to lay a biblical foundation upon which your family can thrive. We'll send you The Ten Commandments of Parenting as our thanks for your gift to help keep the proven truth of God's Word reaching you and people all over the world through this program. So call today to request your copy when you give. Call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. We want to help you walk the winning walk with Christ every single day, so we've packed our website with practical resources to help you apply God's proven truth to your life, including books, Bible studies, and audio and video files. You can also sign up for Dr. Young's email devotional and even request personal prayer. So visit winningwalk.org for more of the proven truth and personal support you need. That's winningwalk.org. You can also follow your favorite program on Twitter. Our username is Winning Walk. That's Winning Walk. How has the Winning Walk impacted your life? Share your story with us by going to winningwalk.org/mystory. Now here's Dr. Ed Young with today's message, Thou Shalt Model Godliness, Part 2.
What would you say, Cliff? How would you say to these people that are struggling with bringing up kids, how do you model godliness? How do you propose to do it? How does it happen? Where do we make mistakes?
Well, I think the main thing that y'all did so well with us was you actually did model godliness. I think so many times you see parents today constantly wanting to tell their kids, even when they're my age and older, what godliness is. You should make this decision. No, this is the right thing. This is the wrong thing. Even when the kids have a relationship with Christ, and they get up in high school and all that, there's a time that I think y'all started saying, instead of, no, this is the right way, this is the wrong way, and we'd have something we'd come to you with. Instead, y'all, a lot of times, you knew that we had a relationship with God, and you didn't try to play the Holy Spirit with us. I think that's very important. You weren't trying to tell us exactly what to do all the time. You would say, hey, here's a suggestion. Here's something. At the same time, we were watching you and Mom and the way you would live your life and the way y'all would make important decisions. And so many times we made that right decision because of that. We knew the way y'all would do it, as opposed to you telling us exactly the way you would do it, or this is what I would do. So that was an important thing, and I think it's important now as well.
So. Ben, what would you do differently? How would you improve so much on your mom and dad as you bring up your two little girls? Or what are some things that you drew from trying to build the right stuff in your kids?
I think that one thing that was prevalent in our household was the fact that you and Mom embraced all of life. When I talk to various people, many times folks will ask me the question, what was it like growing up in a preacher's home, and why are you not so screwed up? And that's what they're really asking. And so I say, well, that's relative, because we're all sinners. We're all messed up. We all make mistakes. But I think the reason we didn't go out and out and rebel against you or rebel against the faith was because our home was very normal. And that's why I tell folks it's very normal. We talked about sports. We played sports. We talked about politics. We embraced all of life. So it wasn't like you guys had this big pulpit Bible and you were always preaching at us and trying to cram it down our throats. You simply lived it out. And I remember growing up, we would pray together every night before we went to bed. I can remember it was during the, not the Pokemon craze, but the Batman and Robin craze. And I can remember praying for Batman and Robin.
The strange thing about Batman and Robin, Joe Beth made little suits for these guys. Ed wanted to be Robin and Ben Batman. His Ed, older, bigger, was Robin. His Batman, smaller. I never understood that.
Well, I think Robin had cooler clothes. So.
It was the shoes.
Ed, what things did you pick up with your kids when you were coming along? What will you do better? You've got four. What's some of the challenges there for you? What would you say to parents in trying to bring these kids up in the proper way?
I really feel like, as we've been talking about, that being a parent is a modeling job. You're on the runway 24/7, and values are more caught than taught. So echoing what Ben and Cliff said, Dad, what's so great about our family, looking back, and then what Lisa and I are trying to model, is exactly what you and Mom modeled: authenticity, living life on the rugged plains of reality. And I'm telling you about Dad and about my mom, when you see them publicly around here doing these things, they're the same away from church as they are in church. And one of the unique things about being a pastor's son or daughter is the fact that you get to see your father and mother in ministry in action. And speaking of modeling, I will tell this little story on Dad. One time, Dad, you did take modeling a little too far, and this is a mistake that he made. When Lisa and I were dating, I was like 15 years of age. I couldn't drive yet, so he was kind enough to drive us around to different places in Columbia, South Carolina at the time. And he dropped Lisa and I off one time at her house, and I walked her to the door, and I was gone for maybe 2 or 3 minutes. And I returned to the car. We're driving, and we've always been a very open family, and Dad turned to me and he said, son, have you kissed Lisa yet? I was saying to myself, well, man, that's a wild question. I said, Dad, I'm not going to tell you. He said, Ed, I want to show you. He goes, I want to show you how to kiss a girl. It's worked on your mother. It'll work for you. So, Dad, I do want to confess openly, we're being authentic here, that was taking modeling to another level. It's a true story.
Now, you'd never kissed any girl up to that point. I didn't want you to mess up.
But all kidding aside, though, that's a great thing that you felt open enough and honest enough to say that to your son. I think it's a great thing.
People are wondering, how do you do it? I mean, what did he show you?
No.
Well, he said...
He left out the instructions.
Yeah, I did. Well, he said, Ed, you take her face in your hands.
You know, I think we talk about having a Christian home. We think it's all pretty heavy here. But going home, how do you keep home fun? How do you want to keep your family fun, Ben, Cliff, Ed? What do you do to... when you went home, what was the elements there that were fun? I think that's a very important. This playing together and praying together is very, very important still, I think, in the home structure.
Yeah, I think when we went home, it wasn't this unbelievably structured, strict situation. It wasn't a stiff thing. It was very relaxed. But outside of the home, we also did stuff on the weekends. You and I always played golf together. I'm 9 years apart. Ben's 9 years older than I am, and Ed's 11. So I kind of had an only child situation there for a while. And we would always play golf together. And early on, we'd all fish together. But I was saying, Ed and I are the only ones who stuck with the biblical sport of fishing.
We outgrew fishing, Ben and I did.
Somehow they outgrew that. But that was one thing. It's an important thing. You always did things with me. I always came to my ball games, sporting events. Even when I was playing soccer when I was younger, you didn't understand a thing about soccer, but you were still there on the sidelines. But and that's important. So we.
But I still coached you. I didn't know what I was doing, but I
exactly.
always.
Exactly. kick the ball. Kick the ball.
But Ben, is it different today than when you guys were coming up in being parents? You think that your challenge that you and Elliot have is different than the challenge that your mom and I had?
I think there are a lot of our culture has changed so much in 30 years. It's been amazing with all the innovation with technology, with TV, videos, internet. So I think there has been a lot. There's been a cultural revolution, so to speak. But to me, that the values and the absolutes of Scripture and the Christian ethic does not change. So I think you have to be more intentional today because kids have a lot more distractions than they did when I was growing up and when you were growing up. So I think you need to be intentional in reading to your kids and talking to them and not allowing the TV to be the center of your home. And that's a difficult thing to do because the TV is it can be a friend. It can be the electronic babysitter. And so you have to monitor, I think, what they watch and do that in an early age. I think sometimes so many parents are battling with their kids when they're in junior high and senior high, and they're involved in little skirmishes and little battles when the war is won between the ages of 0 and 10. Mm-hmm. That's when you have to start disciplining them is at a very early age. And once you win the war, then the battles will take care of themselves in the junior high and high school period. So I think it's important to start early in disciplining
your kids. I just saw a cartoon that I thought was graphic. It pictured the devil. It pictured a demon crawling in a cable as it went in your home. You could see this devil crawling in the cable and smiling as he went in. And I think we need to be very, very aware of that in the internet, in television, VHS, MTV, all of it. That's exactly what's happening. The world that many of us were sheltered from, we were growing up, now comes right in the home, and you have to monitor that, cut it off, and deal with it. And it's an ongoing battle, I think, where we are today.
And I also think that's the priority of the local church. I unashamedly think and proclaim the fact that parents and families should revolve their lives, orbit it around the church, because it's the most important thing going. That's what Jesus has been doing since he ascended to the Father. And he's still doing it until his glorious return. He is building churches. And when we as parents say, okay, we're going to be in worship, we are going to have you up here for age-appropriate teaching, that solves a lot of the problems right up front. But what's happening is we have entered into Activityville, and we're so stressed out and over-challenged and overstimulated that we say, oh yeah, church is the most important thing. My relationship with God is the most important thing. On one hand, we say that, but on the other, we're doing something that is the total opposite of that. So I think wise families need to say, okay, we're going to do three or four things very, very well. And one of the things that we have found in our relationship, Dad, that you and Mom have done an excellent job with is keeping the marriage at the top level in the home. We are to love our wives as Christ loved the church. In other words, the marriage should take precedent over every other relationship. And what I see happening these days is I see families putting the spotlight on their children, and they're becoming kid-centric as opposed to being spouse-centric. So within the context of the family, you're talking about a great modeling tool, date your spouse regularly, go off on little trips together regularly. And right now, some are saying this, they're saying, well, you don't get it, Ed. I can't afford it. Well, it's worth it. Go in debt. You can't afford not to do it. Because if you don't pay the money now, one day you'll be paying the divorce lawyers and your kids will be caught up in the wreckage. So that's something that we have to be intentional about, because one day, as you and Mom are experiencing now, you'll have the empty nest.
It's great, let me tell you that. I recommend the empty nest.
I can tell.
Guys, I want to thank you for coming, and we've survived here. I'd like to say one thing, Ed. If I hadn't taught you how to kiss, you wouldn't be married today. Let me say three things as we try to wrap all of this up as to how you model godliness with your kids. I've missed the boat many times, and Jo Beth would make that same confession. But three things that are very important, I think, summarize what we've been trying to talk about. First of all, build a lifetime love affair with your mate. Isn't that what we're saying? That's the most important thing. You say, what does that do with parenting? You are modeling for them what love and family is all about. And to build a lifetime love affair with your mate takes creativity, it takes thoughtfulness, it takes an intentional action to do that. It takes a lot of subtle things, a lot of apparent things, but that is the beginning step, the genius of building an effective home and a great family. Build a lifetime love affair with your mate. Give that the highest priority. Number two, build a lifetime love affair with your children. These guys know I love them whatever, whenever, unconditionally. And they know that I don't love any one of them better than I do any another. There's no favoritism here. There never has been. I don't feel it, and they know it. They're all different, as you can see. And by the way, I never thought they would be in this particular vocation in a full-time church-related type of thing. That was the last thing I wanted them to do. I told them it was the last thing they needed to do. And the only hope we have is Cliff the musician. He'll make enough money to support the rest of us. That's our dream. That's our dream. And David, the Glenn, shares this with me as well. But I never dreamed that this would take place. So you have to build a lifetime love affair with your kids. With your kids. And finally, you build a lifetime love affair with Jesus Christ. Those are three things. You want to have godly kids and godly grandchildren. You do those three things and you will model in a fun, meaningful way what it means to be a mom or dad. You play with them, you listen to them, you love them, you discipline them, you use all these screens to make sure that their life is pointed in the right way. A lifetime love affair with Jesus Christ, and they will be able to discern whether or not that's real with you. All three of these guys have been personal evangelists. They have friends who are Christians today, and their mother and dads are Christian today because they won to Christ. I think about a friend of Ben that he led to Christ when you were, how old were you when you won Greg to Christ?
Elementary school.
Elementary school to Christ, who went home and won his mother and dad in Christ, who in turn they won their grandparents to Christ. In turn, this friend also is pastor of a church in South Carolina today, all because one little guy witnessed to another little guy who witnessed to his mother and daddy, who witnessed to his sister. He had one sister. Witnessed to two sisters led to Christ, who in turn led their parents to Christ. You say, boy, that's an amazing story. No, it happens all the time. I can trace it through the influence of Ed and with Cliff and our other kids. It's just who we are. I love the story about the guy who went up to the teenage boy and he said, why do you love God, son? He said, I don't know. I guess it just runs in my family. But let me say that's not enough. It's not enough for the love of God or relationship with Christ simply to run in your family. It has to go beyond that. If it doesn't go beyond that, the first agnostic professor they encounter in college, the first skeptic they encounter in the office, when they begin to ask the hard questions, they're not ready to defend themselves. So it not only has to run in the family, and you say, I believe that Jesus is God's son, but also it has to have a factual basis. And the wonderful, amazing truth about Christianity is it is rooted in history, in time and in space, and there is empirical evidence there of the deity of Christ, empirical evidence concerning the crucifixion and the resurrection and the truth of God's word. You see what happens to us. It's very, very interesting. The heart cannot rejoice in what the mind rejects. You get that? You say, well, I believe that Jesus is God's son. Why do you believe it? Well, I just believe it. I believe it, therefore it's true. You see, I come at it the other way. Because it is true, that's the reason I believe it. See what I'm saying? So you've got to understand and give to your kids the historical fact that this is true truth. It is true truth, the facts of the good news, and therefore I believe it because I believe in true truth. In that way, no one can shake their faith because it is not only a subjective belief, but there is objective historical truth upon which this belief is founded and based. And on that rock, you'll produce sons and daughters who will make a difference in the third millennium. Second chance, guys. You want to add anything we left out? Are you real sure?
We're good.
Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the thrill and the blessing of having kids. And Lord, we know as parents, and Joe Beth and I certainly know that we have missed the mark so many, many times that we're thankful for your grace and the fact that you give us a second chance. And Lord, we pray today for that mom who may be without a mate. We pray that you'll give her courage and you'll give her the ability and the wisdom and the talent while holding down a full-time job to still the time she can spend with her kids will make up for the deficit that she feels in not having a partner there with her at home. And Father, I pray today for single adults who are not yet married. May they begin already to see the kind of mate that you would have them to have. Not just who gives lip service, but really lives and walks with Jesus Christ. Someone they can build a passionate love affair with for the rest of their life, and therefore they can passionately love children, therefore they can passionately love the Lord Jesus Christ and produce offsprings that will spread your truth even to generations yet unborn. Oh Lord, challenge us in all of our areas of influence not to feel that I'm not involved in parenting anymore, but may we all feel a sense of call and responsibility and accountability to you to be the salt and the light and the leaven as we seek to infuse this decadent culture that has such a siren call of lustfulness and hedonism. Lord, may we be men and women of God who will make that difference. Teenagers who will stand up humbly for thee, and children who will say no to those things they need to say no to and yes to those things they need to say yes to because of a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and because of all the supporting arm of the church and the family.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. We hope today's message has encouraged you with the proven truth of God's Word. And we'd love to encourage you with a resource filled with proven truth to help you parent God's way. It's Dr. Young's book, The Ten Commandments of Parenting, and he wrote it to help you lay a biblical foundation for life's greatest challenge and most important calling so you can raise up the next generation of children to be disciples who spread the kingdom of God. You'll discover that there are no quick fixes to the tough task of parenting. God's Word has the blueprint you need to build a Christ-centered home. So call now to request the Ten Commandments of Parenting as our thanks for your gift to reach more people with the proven truth of God's Word. Call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. Thanks for being with us today on The Winning Walk. Listen in tomorrow as Dr. Young shares proven truth from God's Word to help you point kids towards Jesus.
Winning Walk is a listener-supported ministry. Your prayers and financial support allow us to bring proven truth to listeners around the world. Connect with us at winningwalk.org. That's winningwalk.org. Give us a call at 1-800-350-350-WALK. That's 1-800-350-9255-9255-350-350-9255.